its large yellow eyes watching for mice or other mammals up to the size of skunks. Like other nocturnal owls, the flight and contour feathers are frayed at the ends and very soft, allowing the owl to fly, hardly making a sound, to capture unsuspecting prey. The only sound we'll hear is the great horned owl's nighttime refrain. Who's awake? Me, too. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hello and welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy in New York City at the Church of Stop Shopping. We can't measure it. How do you frame it? How do you even talk about it without bursting into fits of bitter laughter? We have an international climate conference, COP28, in the United Arab Emirates. Why is it at a petrostate in the first place? You'll have to ask Secretary General Guterres of the United Nations, why there? Precisely. Well, this shouldn't be a surprise, but it is. The host, a guy named Jaber, of the whole thing, is an oil man. He's the president of a prominent oil company, and he's making side deals, we've discovered through leaked emails, side deals with other oil executives to make fossil fuel burning even more deadly around the world. He's doing that during the conference. He's using the conference as a setting for these meetings, these side deals. Oh, my God. My God in heaven. So what did we do? Well, in the Earth Riot, our solution is Gail Bradbrook and Al Nur Lada. Gail, using her prominence co-founding Extinction Rebellion, talks to us of a consciousness revolution. It's convincing, it's generous. Gail, we're so glad to have you here today. Also, Al Nur Lada. Well, now, Al Nur Lada has co-founded many organizations over the years, too numerous to mention, almost too numerous. I have to mention The Rules, where he served as executive director for 7 years, inventing new kinds of governance. I have to mention that he was on the International Board of Greenpeace. But now, Transition Network, finding new ways to change our structures. Holding forth from Costa Rica, talking to us on Zoom. So Gail and Al Nur, holding forth with us in the next, well, what is it now, 27 minutes. Thank you for tuning in. This will be exciting. Hopefully it'll help you and I step forward into this tortured, dark world where the fossil fuel war is killing children and families right in front of our very eyes in broad daylight. Ooh, come on now. Somebody give me an Earth-a-looia. Earth-a-looia.
Carrying out a vast, frightening experiment of changing every ecological condition all at once, at a pace that far outstrips nature's ability to cope. After all, ladies and gentlemen, in 2050, our grandchildren won't be asking what we said, They will be living with the consequences of what we did or didn't do. So if we act together to safeguard our precious planet, the welfare of all our people will surely follow. And we need to remember, too, that the indigenous worldview teaches us that we are all connected, not only as human beings, but with all living things and all that sustains life. As part of this grand and sacred system, harmony with nature must be maintained. The earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth.
Death makes the sun rise.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Extinction
one, two,
is real.
3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Extinction
1, 2,
is real.
3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Extinction
1, 2,
is real.
Extinction is here.
Extinction number 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
3, 4, 5.
3, 4, 5.
We better say I love you.
Now I know why.
extinction, extinction. My God, what a word. It's everywhere, it's nowhere. It's loud, it's unheard. Extinction is real, extinction is here. We better say I love you before we disappear. Extinction number 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do something to remember if someone does survive.
Death makes the sun rise. When I said about psychedelic civil disobedience, it was about the idea that, of course, it's an outrage that it's illegal to do things with your own consciousness, and that there's control, and that we should rebel about that as well, because it's all interlinked. And I think the bigger point here, though, is how do we work with these medicines in a cultural way that moves us forwards together? So I just had the pleasure and fortune of sitting in retreat with a woman who calls herself Amanita Dreamer, who's been working out how to work with the red and white spotted mushrooms that are very associated with Christmas. You know, the fly agaric mushrooms are also called. And, you know, along with other people, but been working out, because they're seen as very poisonous, and then there's, you know, a deep trauma here and elsewhere around witchcraft and the burning of the witches and herbal medicine and our understanding of plants and fungus, etc. So there was a cleaving and a separation. And it sounded like the Amanita, when you can do a chemistry with them that decarboxylates, it'll be more like iboga medicine, takes you deep and inside. I haven't done that. I haven't worked with them in that way. Needs care, by the way. There's a smoking that can lead, that with drumming can be sort of like an original rave. And I have had a bit of an experience of that. And you're like, okay, you don't just have to be sort of chewing your face on MDMA. There might be something that comes here with these mushrooms that helps us to be seasonal and celebratory, you know, and playful. She talks about them having a playful element. And because we don't know, there may be some cultures that have got something, you know, I think the Same maybe, but relationship still with those mushrooms. But they were, and they, you know, they grow in the land that I grow in, as do the psilocybin mushrooms and as do other medicines that, like mugwort and so on. But how are we meant to be with these medicines, right? That's the thing that we're discovering. But it's, to me, it's like, how do we stay well together, which includes ways of healing, ways of deciding when we have to act like warriors and we have to put up a fight, and when do we need to come together and find our joy again? You know, there's all this. It's a together thing. It's not a individual experience that you're going off and having. Not that that would never be appropriate, don't get me wrong. It's like that's what we're being called towards. And of course, there are other practices, dance practices and breath practices, and these things interweave. But the best of Extinction Rebellion has included the Samba Band, actually, is when we were collectively able to create spirit together, or evoke spirit. I don't know what the right language is, but it's something that draws you in. It's, I call it magic sauce at times for people. It's an attraction. You want to be together. You want this action together. It's not about throwing your body against a system that never is going to change. It can't change. It's about feeling the togetherness and the aliveness, and knowing that life has struggle in it, and meeting the times that we're in with the intention of being finding our way back into spirit. I can't say it a different way, I think. And that will then lead us to having to meet moments and act well together, catch things, deal with things. But we have to find our aliveness together, I think, is what I'm saying.
Welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. COP28 is underway in the United Arab Emirates, attended by activists, scientists, bureaucrats, politicians, journalists, and land guardians from all over the world. The agenda at COP28 includes a global stocktaking of the Paris Climate Accords 5 years later, with the aim of assessing the world's collective progress toward achieving its climate goals. Pennsylvania leads the U.S. in Lyme disease cases, and the continued development of forested areas increases people's risk of being bitten by the species of tick that transmits the illness. When forests, where black-legged ticks thrive statewide, are fragmented to make room for roads, oil and gas sites, housing developments, or shopping centers, ticks have fewer available hosts and are more likely to bite humans. In 2022, Pennsylvania reported 8,413 confirmed Lyme disease cases, a number that has increased almost every year for more than a decade. Officials will add wolverines, threatened by climate change and habitat loss in much of the U.S., to the endangered species list. New research indicates that exposure to parks, trees, and other green spaces can slow the rates at which our cells age. The study published in Science of the Total Environment found that people who lived in neighborhoods with more green space had longer telomeres, which are associated with longer lives and slower aging. Authorities in Honduras have issued an arrest warrant for the alleged mastermind in the case of the murdered indigenous environmental leader Berta Cáceres. Cáceres was gunned down in her home in March 2016 in retaliation for leading a campaign to stop construction of an internationally financed hydroelectric dam. On Friday, a court issued an arrest warrant for Daniel Atala Midense after prosecutors formally accused the financial manager of the dam company DESA with masterminding the murder. Scientists have created tiny moving biological robots from human tracheal cells that can encourage the growth of neurons across artificial wounds in the lab. Using patients' own cells could permit growth of anthrobots that assist healing and regeneration in the future with no need for immune suppression. The discovery of a planet that is far too massive for its sun is calling into question what was previously understood about the formation of planets and their solar systems, according to Penn State researchers. In a paper published online in the journal Science, researchers report the discovery of a planet more than 13 times as massive as Earth, orbiting the ultra-cool star LHS 3154, which itself is 9 times less massive than our sun. The mass ratio of the newly found planet with its host star is more than 100 times higher than that of Earth and the Sun. Most U.S. cities would have to replace lead water pipes within 10 years under strict new rules proposed by the EPA as the Biden administration moves to reduce lead in drinking water and prevent public health crises like the ones in Flint, Michigan and Washington, D.C. Millions of people consume drinking water from lead pipe. And the agency said tighter standards would improve IQ scores in children and reduce high blood pressure and heart disease in adults. It is the strongest overhaul of lead rules in more than 3 decades and will cost billions of dollars. Humans are fixated on big brains as a proxy for smarts, but headless animals called brittle stars have no brains at all and still manage to learn through experience, new research reveals. These shy marine creatures have no brain to speak of, just nerve cords running down each of their 5 wiggly arms. But that seems to be enough to learn by association, researchers report. There's no processing center. Each of the nerve cords can act independently. It's like instead of a boss, there's a committee. In a study with 22 pairs of identical twins, Stanford medicine researchers and their colleagues have found that a vegan diet improves cardiovascular health in as little as 8 weeks. The world's militaries produce at least 5.5% of greenhouse gas emissions, more than the total footprint of Japan, according to one 2022 estimate. Military spending has grown by more than a quarter in the past decade, exceeding $2.2 trillion in 2022. When researchers asked hundreds of people to watch other people shake boxes, it took just seconds for almost all of them to figure out what the shaking was for. The deceptively simple experiment is the first to demonstrate that people can tell what others are trying to learn just by watching their actions. The study reveals a key yet neglected aspect of human cognition, and one with great implications for artificial intelligence. Just by looking at how somebody's body is moving, you can tell what they are trying to learn about their environment, said author Chaz Firestone. Across several experiments, researchers asked a total of 500 participants to watch two videos in which someone picks up a box full of objects and shakes it around. One shows someone shaking a box to figure out the number of objects inside it. The other shows someone shaking a box to figure out the shape of the objects inside. Almost every participant knew who was shaking for the number and who was shaking for shape. If you added up all the microbes living deep below Earth's surface, the amount of biomass would outweigh all life within our oceans. But because this abundant life is so difficult to reach, it is widely understudied and incompletely understood. By accessing the deep underground through a former gold mine turned laboratory in South Dakota's Black Hills, Northwestern University researchers have pieced together the most complete map to date of the elusive and unusual microbes beneath our feet. In total, the researchers characterized nearly 600 microbial genomes, some of which are completely new to science. Out of this batch, Northwestern geoscientist Magdalena Osborne, who led the study, says most microbes fit into one of two categories: minimalists, who have streamlined their lives by eating the same thing all day, every day, and maximalists, which are ready and prepared to greedily grab any resource that might come their way. For nearly 50 years, astronomers have come up empty-handed in their search for stars within the sprawling structure known as the Magellanic Stream. A colossal ribbon of gas, the Magellanic Stream spans nearly 300 moon diameters across the southern hemisphere sky, trailing behind the Magellanic Cloud galaxies, two of our Milky Way galaxy's closest cosmic neighbors. Researchers have identified 13 stars whose distances, motion, and chemical makeup place the stars squarely within the enigmatic stream. Locating these stars has now pinned down the true distance to the Magellanic Stream, revealing that it extends from 150,000 light years to more than 400,000 light years away. And now, the sounds of extinction. A Sumatran rhino has been born in western Indonesia, a rare sanctuary birth for the critically endangered animal. The population of Sumatran rhinos is estimated at less than 80 on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. The new addition to the Sumatran rhino herd, which numbers 10, comes after another baby Sumatran rhino was born in September. Successful births are rare. A male rhino born in 2012 was the first Sumatran rhino birthed in an Indonesian sanctuary in more than 120 years. The Sumatran rhino, the smallest of all rhino species, is critically endangered. Multiple threats have brought them to the brink of extinction, including poaching and climate change. Rhino horn is often illegally traded for traditional Chinese medicine. And hear the sound of the Sumatran rhino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's self-hatred here, and that's what you do. It's like a masochism, you know, and it can show up in lots of different ways. Even as you were talking about what you are doing, I sort of maybe felt a bit of despair in that, and like it's not enough. And how do we be like, you know, what mindset look and feel like? On the one hand, you know, as the ordeals come thick and fast, that we are the best thing we can do is stay together and stay out of depravity. And also, how do we, like, do our very best at other times to be in service without the self-hatred and with compassion, you know, which is not letting ourselves off the hook? Like, it's a tricky thing to navigate, isn't it? I don't know if that made any sense, but I just feel that mess of it all, that predicament, you know?
Yeah, and to... just comment on this idea of self-hate. You know, in some ways there's it's going to sound counterintuitive, but there's a healthy self-hate at a civilizational level, right? Which is whatever we are doing as a species, I don't subscribe to. I've withdrawn my interest and my support in the human enterprise.
Is that what you're doing in Costa Rica?
Yeah, I've withdrawn my support. And yet self-hate can also be paralyzing, right? The dominant culture wants to, in some ways, spawn self-hate because it understands that it's paralyzing. And so there's this, you know, you either have to be Gandhi or a Goldman Sachs banker. You have to renounce everything or join the system, right? It's just binary. There is no in between. There is no pause for, you know, healthy skepticism or contemplation or lament, right? Or longing for something else. And this is part of the spiritual political practice that's required of us right now, which is our DNA, our ancestors, our sort of the deep time knowing that is embedded in us knows there's other ways to live and be in communion with this planet.
Yeah, yes.
And as you say, Billy, like the Earth is going to continue, and it's going to if we are going to survive, it's going to ask us to do that. And I think this is the threshold of initiation we're in, is to, instead of impose our political economies and our made-up debt growth-based systems and material production and all of that, is to ask what she wants of us and to align the way we do everything from consumption, production, material output, commune with each other, relate to each other, how we even see the world. All of that is put in question now. And everything we thought we knew and all the certainty we had from the so-called enlightenment and scientific materialism, all of that is being overturned. And even the sciences are, you know, the younger brother of common sense and mysticism is even understanding that, you know, our minds are not epiphenomena of our brains, of some machine, you know, that our stomachs and our biomes are actually producing the quality of our thoughts, that particles cannot be reduced to their constituent materials, that non-temporality and non-locality exist, that we're entangled in all these ways. And part of this moment is like going to be very disorientating. That's the nature of collapse, and that's the nature of transition times, and
yeah,
that's the nature of the Dark Ages. Having each other is what matters. Like knowing Gail exists and what she lives for, knowing Billy exists and what he lives for, and that's what allows me to be able to confirm my intuition that the culture is not our friend, you know, to paraphrase Terence McKenna, and then to strive for something new and to realize that, you know, putting my head to the soil and asking for direction is as good as a strategy as, you know, seizing a communications tower or figuring out, you know, acupuncture point.